This is like every pastor's worst nightmare. You eat all this wonderful food, and then it's warm in the room. What do we think is going to be happening here? Yeah, no snoring. I'd appreciate it. Those of you that remember Steve Manuel, our good brother. Yeah. Those of you that never met Steve or knew, this was back when we were at the Park Inn, the first building we were in as a church family. And we bought in these big wingback chairs that were in the lobby for some of the older guys to be able to sit in. Well, Steve commandeered one of those pretty quickly. Steve had a lot of physical problems stemming from a motorcycle accident that he had had as a young man. And consequently, he was usually pretty heavily medicated for pain. At least that's what he said. But I can remember up here preaching going, who's running a bandsaw outside? And it was Steve in the back corner. I mean, just snoring to beat the band. But here was the strange thing. He'd come up to me later and said, boy, Pastor Dave, really great sermon today. I said, you have no idea what I said up there. And he would tell me, honestly, what I said. I don't know how he did it, but he was a talented young man. Good old Steve. Just a quick word for the ladies. The 15th is the last day that you can register for the beautifully broken, wonderfully made women's retreat and revival. Again, if you have questions about that, you can check with Deb Core. There are forms on the back there. So again, please make sure that you do that. We are going to have a baptismal service there again. And just all kinds of great things. If you've been a part of that in the past, this is the third annual. It's a real blessing. And the ladies just have an exceptionally wonderful time together. Please make sure that you are aware of Bible study schedules and all of those kinds of things that you can become a part of. And just things that are happening now. Again, don't forget church picnic. Last Saturday of September, that's the 27th, right down here at Roof Park at Pavilion Number 2. You are all invited to be a part of that. So again, that is the last Saturday of September. Last Sunday. Why would I say Saturday? Last Sunday of... Yeah, I was wondering why you were giving me that look, Tara. I don't know. It was you. You were giving me such a look there. So it's the last Sunday of September. I knew you would have figured that out at some point. You would have gotten it. So I want to continue to pray for one another. Please keep Tina and Hugh in your prayers. Continue to pray for Bill Reynolds. Bill's doing well. Still some swelling in his legs that need to be taken care of before he's going to be able to come back and to see us. Had lunch this week with Mickey Minnick. Mickey is doing well. He's not driving. He's hoping that this week at an appointment he's going to get his license back. I don't know that that's going to happen, but for his sake, I'm praying that it will. So just please continue to keep Mickey in your prayers as well. And just pray for one another. Again, we have cards on the table by the offering box. If you would like prayer for anything specific, please let us know. And there's also a place there that you can check if you would like that to be kept confidential. And then Katarina and I will be the ones that will be praying for you. Otherwise, we have a wonderful prayer team here at the church. And so when you bring a request to us, it's not just one or two of us. You've got half of the church that are praying for you diligently and faithfully. So just please be aware of that. We are a church that believes that through the power of God, that prayer changes the circumstances of our lives. If you don't believe me, talk to the Buffingtons and they'll give you a four-hour testimony, as they should. Amen. Amen. Well, let us pray together before we open God's word and just come before the throne. Heavenly Father, it is with grateful hearts that we have been able to gather together this morning. And Father, we come from so many different backgrounds, different circumstances of our lives. Some have walked through some incredibly difficult things in their lives, things that people just should not have to be exposed to. And yet because of the evil of the world, it's all around us. Those that come from circumstances that were much more centered on you and to be blessed to be raised in a church. But Father, regardless of where it is we come from, we share a commonality in our lives that we are all sinners saved by your grace. And so it's in that, Father, that we proclaim our thanks, our devotion, our worship of you. Thank you, God, for loving us, even when we're unlovely. Thank you, God, for dying for our sins, even while we were still in sin. And God, I pray that every day we would be mindful of your presence, knowing, God, that we have been called to be a light in a dark place. God, we freely admit that that's not always easy. There are times when our mouths get us in trouble, times when our tempers flare, times, God, when our minds are set on things that they should not be. Father, we ask you, forgive us of those times we fall so short, and yet filled with the knowledge that you still love us, that you are the one that helps us to day by day know what it is to do battle, to be victorious for the kingdom, and it's all because of you. Father, we lift those that we have mentioned this morning to you. God, I ask that you would meet them at their place of need. Fill them, God, with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I lift those, God, that have not shared what it is they're walking with, those that are dealing with private concerns. But Lord, may we know in the fullness of confidence that you know our hearts. You know the dark places that we shield from everyone else. And God, I pray it would be our desire to fully surrender every aspect of our lives to you, knowing, God, that you love us, that you want the very best for us. Father, we pray for our nation this morning. We pray for our president and vice president, for all of those in positions of authority. Again, Father, we do not pray these things out of political mindedness. We pray these things to be obedient to the word. Regardless of what party is represented, regardless of the person, God, we pray for them, knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit is truly the only hope for this nation. And yet, God, we can be encouraged because regardless of who it is that sits in those places of power, you are always on the throne. And so, Father, thank you for that. Encourage us, I pray. And now, God, as we open your word, would you reveal to our hearts what it is that you would have us to know, so that we may walk with you every day in a way that shows people you are the difference in our lives. I pray these things in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we began a series on the Holy Spirit last Sunday by first recognizing several truths. And the first truth was that the Holy Spirit is an equal part of the triune Godhead. Now, again, that word triune means three in one. So we know that we serve God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And following that first truth was a second one that I got to be honest, I don't think many people like this truth. Or they don't want to acknowledge it. But here it is, because it is in fact a truth. Our minds are incapable of fully grasping the concepts of God. We are inadequate in that. We are contained in our minds. There's only so much that we can grasp. We are limited. God is not. And so the things of God that have become so divisive within the church, I think we could very easily do away with them if we would just recognize we're never going to fully understand all the things of God. So whether it's the concept of predestination versus free will, whether it's the concept of a Trinity, three in one, we must accept these things by faith. Not by the knowledge of our minds, but by faith in him. To know that his word is true. If it says it in his word, I believe it. And again, I've shared with you, I'm a fairly simple guy. I don't need things to be complicated. There's enough things that are complicating in my life. Most of you are going, yeah, okay, we get that part. It's complicated enough. My relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through Father God, That doesn't need to be complicated. I trust him. I trust him. I've surrendered my life to him. So may I encourage you that if you're one of those people that enjoys debating, do we have any debaters? This is not a bad or a good thing. It's just a question. Any debaters in here? There are people that really love that kind of thing. I saw you elbow your husband. Don't do that. He's not a debater. He's a discusser. Because debaters always want to win. Debaters are trying to be victorious about something. But see, in the church, we need to be much more receptive to the unity of who we are in God together. Not the things that divide us, but the things that bring us together. And these kinds of concepts are things that we need to accept by faith. The third truth that we talked about is that the Holy Spirit is found throughout the entirety of Scripture. So just like Father God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament was just as active as the Holy Spirit that we read of so much in the New Testament. But what we saw of the Old Testament Holy Spirit was developed much more in the actions of God. So when we see things happening by God, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that those things were taking place. It was in the prophetic word that God spoke through the 22 recognized Old Testament prophets, of which 17 of those are recorded in our scriptures of the major and minor prophets. Holy Spirit was speaking to these men, giving them the prophetic words, beginning with Isaiah all the way through to Malachi. And then we come to the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit becomes much more personal to us. That was the great change, I believe, that took place. The Holy Spirit of the Old Testament was awesome, Almighty God, moving and doing all the things that God needed to do. When you come to the New Testament, he becomes much more personal. It's a relationship that we have now. And so Acts, the second chapter, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit, or the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to the disciples, that when he left, he said, I'm going to send another. I'm going to send a help. I'm going to send a comforter, someone to help strengthen you. And our text this morning is from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. I'll just read it to you. John 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And my friends, the assurance that we have this morning, it is that same Holy Spirit that dwells within each person's heart today if you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so, having established those truths last week, what does that mean for us? A 21st century Christian. Things are much more complicated, you say. We're dealing with things in this day and age that the people of the Bible didn't have to deal with. And while that is true, the fact is that God is still present in the exact same way that he was then, he is today. But how does that impact your life? How does that change the way that you live? How does that make a difference in you? And I've said this so many times, but the reason this church is called what it is, Remnant Life Church, is because we are called to live these truths every day. Do people see that in you? That's always my own question. In my own quiet time, in my own time of reflecting or just spending time with God, my question is, do people see this in me? See, that's always the challenge. I hate this, doggone it. I hate true confession. So I got all these guys in this room that have seen me play softball. And I wonder to myself, do guys know I'm a Christian when I'm playing softball? Fact plays right behind me in left field. I'm at shortstop. Rich is behind me in left field. He's watching me the whole time. Now I'm all upset that you're here. I liked before that you were here. Now I'm upset. But it's a question I have. Am I being truly who I should be when I'm not sitting in this room with a lot of really nice people who are kind and loving? How am I out there? And see, what I am wanting us to recognize, church, is that you are not doing this alone. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. God is with us at all times. That same Holy Spirit that performed all those miracles, that did all of those things that we read about, same Holy Spirit here today. And that's why I want to speak with you about some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Who is He? Now again, recognizing that we can only grasp so much of this, but God in His love for us does reveal Himself. And there are several characteristics over the next week, several weeks that I want to speak with you about. And the first one this morning is the fact that the Holy Spirit is immutable. That might be a $5 word. I don't know if you're real. That's not a word you hear in everyday conversation. If you get this in Scrabble, you're golden. You'll get this. Immutable. I-M-M-U-T-A-B-L-E. The Holy Spirit is immutable. Now, what does that word mean? Well, according to Webster, very simple. Someone that is not capable of or susceptible to change. That's what the word immutable means. Insusceptible, will not change, incapable of that. Now again, think back to what we're talking about here. When we say it's hard for us to grasp these things, that is something for us as humans, as people, that's not easy to understand. How can you possibly never change? Because is that not what our life is basically all about? The only thing constant in our lives is change. I don't care who you are. That's funny. That's pretty funny. The only constant in life is change. How we have to adjust ourselves and the way that we live and the things that we are required to do. And see, while that definition remains true of God, He is unchanging, we still are not able to fully recognize what that means. But what we can do is to see how we can have our lives impacted by that. You know, I try to think of it like this. He is the same all the time because He is the author and the creator of change. Does that make sense? You see where it starts to get a little bit, ouch, wait a minute. God is the author, the creator of change, and there is nothing that takes place within any existence outside of His will. You're beginning to see the enormity of who God is. And it staggers my mind that there are still people that can shake their fist at Him and deny Him. That'll still go completely against the things of God when we recognize how awesome and how majestic He is. The songs that we sing to Him. How awesome You are. He can't change. Listen to what, a few more things that might help to bring this into picture. This was written in an introduction to a sermon on this very subject of the immutability of the Holy Spirit by a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. This man was the great British mid-19th century Baptist pastor over in England. He actually is one of the three primary influencers on my own preaching. This man was a tremendous gift, died very young. Here's what he said. Immutability means that God is not subject to change through time or circumstances. In His nature and His character, God is absolutely without change. In God's essence, attributes, consciousness, and will, He is unchangeable. And that's not just God the Father, that's God the Son. And it is God the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what the writer of Hebrews was saying in Hebrews 13, 7 to 8. He said, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Each of them unchanging because they're immutable. And the fact is that God in three persons cannot change. He cannot. Because you must consider, what is the action of change? What does that mean? Well, it means that something needs to be either better or it's going to get worse than what it was before. That's what change does. Let me give you an example. If I decide to change my diet from this day forward, and I don't buy any more Entenmann's from the Giant, this isn't happening, but if I were to change my diet and suddenly my diet is just crystal clean and pure and I'm not eating all the things I shouldn't eat, the change is going to be that I'm hopefully going to feel better. I'll be more healthy. That's a good change. Conversely, if I were to decide today to begin smoking 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day, that's also going to bring a change. But my health is going to get worse. Again, both involve change. But here's the thing that's different, because you see, God is perfection. And so his nature must always be and be maintained as perfect. So God cannot change to make himself better. He's already perfect. God will not change in a way that makes him worse because he's perfect. And see, my friends, I'm beginning to recognize in my own life more and more that to recognize his perfection means that I can relax a little bit more in my life. I do not need to make such a big deal about the things that are going on. I'm not saying we don't care. I'm not saying that Christians should be this just unemotional zombies that walk around. That's not the way God created us. But when I begin to recognize the perfection of my God, the perfection of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the perfection of the one that dwells within me, it changes my perspective. It changes my outlook. And see, that is precisely when we are faced with the difficulties and the challenges of life, that means we can put our trust wholly and completely in the goodness and the love of God. Because God never disappoints. He never disappoints us. Remember, I was talking about expectations? We generally are going to be in a place where we are often going to disappoint the people around us when we don't do exactly what it was that maybe was expected of us or that perhaps we should have done. You see, God never disappoints. There's a fundamental truth of our faith that in recognizing and knowing who God is, my question for us is, why do we then still continue to doubt? Why do we continue to still be filled with fear? Why do we worry? It's hard for me to embrace that kind of a mind. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about themselves. I truly am not. I've been through times of my own life when I was worried, when I was fearful of things that were happening. But in studying for this and in recognizing through the course of my life who God is, I have to bring myself to the place of asking, why do I allow that to happen? If I know who he is and embrace him in my life in that way, why would I allow that to come into my life? Because to doubt is to, in essence, to declare, God, I do not believe that you can handle this situation. I don't think you can handle it. And because I'm now going to allow my emotions, the emotions of my flesh, to dictate the condition of my heart, well, I don't think I can trust you either. See, that's what you're saying. Now, you can argue with me with that if you want to. That's okay. But I'm not going to back down on this, because I believe that the enemy, Satan, uses worry and fear and those kinds of things, anxiousness, to take us away from the place that God desires for us to be. And that's a man and a woman convinced to know, I have the armor of God in my life. There's no weapon formed against me that will prosper. And He will never leave me nor forsake me. We say those words so easily. But do we live them? Is it a part of my life, or do I find myself all torn up in knots over something that's going on? Money, a job, a relationship, my health. God, I trust you. I trust you. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, my friends, but that's why we rely on Him. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit in order to live in our lives, to give us what we need to be able to step through those difficulties, the storms that I'm forced to have to deal with. I got bad news. If you became a Christian thinking everything was going to be great in your life, haven't you been disappointed? No, it isn't all great in your life. Not at least according to the world's standards, but I'll tell you, according to heavenly standards, I got nothing better. It's the best of my life. I mean, how could I be upset? I know where I'm going. What's the worst thing people say is going to happen? Well, you lost your life. Worst thing that can happen. And death is traumatic for family and for loved ones. But for those that know Jesus Christ, I've just been promoted. Those of you that had a chance to meet my mother, mom died a couple of years ago now. Feels like it was 5 minutes. But mom died a couple of years ago, and the morning that she died, I was not at the house. Katerina and I were staying in a hotel about 3 miles away because the house was packed with the rest of the family. We said, we'll go to a hotel. I was up getting dressed, 5:15 in the morning. I'm getting cleaned up. I'm about 10 minutes away from leaving, and my brother texted me, and he said, Mom went home. Mom's gone. And I'll tell you, the first emotion that I felt was, I was so happy for her. I was so happy for her. Because now she was out of pain, because the cancer that had jumped on her in a matter of weeks was horrific. Tremendous pain. But not only was she free of that pain, but now she was face to face with Jesus. She was reunited with my stepfather, the love of her life. She was reunited with her mother and father who had been gone since the 1970s. It's a promotion. And see, to live life every day with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit that dwells within you has been given to you to strengthen you should never leave room in your life for doubt, for worry, or for fear. Now, please don't hear something I'm not saying. I have compassion for anyone that's struggling with those things. I know what it's like to walk through them. But my prayer is that you will come to the place of recognizing that God is greater than anything that you are dealing with in your life. Because it's the same God who created the universe with just a thought. The same God who at the Red Sea, and I love the 1956 Ten Commandments, He says, and with a blast of His nostrils, He divided the waters. I love that description. Same God. The same God that raised Lazarus, Jairus' daughter. Most importantly, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ raised them from the dead. Same God. Same Holy Spirit lives within each of you. But He can't handle what you're dealing with? He can. There's nothing too great for God. And His presence and His power are all sufficient for our lives. Yes, you are going to need to walk through storms, but He's right there with you. Yes, there are going to be those times where you're going to feel like, I'm failing, I'm moving in the wrong direction. He is still there with you, loving you, loving you. That's the God that we serve. The immutability of God certainly rings fear for those people that don't know Him. Because God must be faithful to His word. He must be true to His word. And the fact of that is that it's only through Him that we can walk this walk every day. Only because of Him. That means your works are not enough. Remember I said about doing and doing and doing? Those things are all good. Those things are all important. But those things are not going to bring you to the Father. We talk about having baptism. Baptism is not salvation. That is sometimes preached inaccurately from the pulpits. You do not need to be baptized in order to be saved. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Baptism is an important part of that. But baptism does not save you. It's only surrendering your life to Him. Your works are not enough. Your accomplishments, they're not going to be enough. Your own strength is not enough. However, within the knowledge of God, His perfection, He never changes. There's a constant source of comfort for believers because it means that He's always faithful. God is always faithful in these things. And so what that means for us this morning as I begin to close is that the Holy Spirit of Acts, the second chapter, is the same Holy Spirit at work today. Same Holy Spirit that enabled those disciples to go out and to preach with such fervor. The same Holy Spirit that gave them the strength to stand in the face of being martyred, each and every one of them except for John. The same Jesus that enabled them, the same Holy Spirit, the same power of God to stand in the face of opposition is the same one that lives within you this morning because He doesn't change. It's still active today. And so the question just might be then, okay, if it's the same Holy Spirit, look at all the miracles that were going on. Why are there no more miracles today or so few of them, certainly in this nation? Now, you go to places like Africa and South America, you're going to see some miracles going on. So is that because God loves them more? Is that because somehow God has changed? No, it's not that at all. Who has changed? We have. We have, especially in this nation. Our faith, our simple faith, has been so beaten and battered and stolen by the things of this world. And so it will always come back, my friends, to the same question. Are you going to stand for the things of God and refuse to compromise? Refuse to give in. You know, you see this all the time on the news and social media and all that kind of thing. People that dare to stand up for something that is conservative and right, according to the Word of God. What happens to them? My goodness, they're barbecued. I mean, they are just shredded. And unfortunately, that means that many times people step away from those convictions. Even Christians today, even churches and pulpits are stepping away from the convictions of the Word in order to appease the world. Church, I've said this so many times, I'm going to continue to say it as long as God has us together. We will never compromise the truth of God's Word in this church. We will stand for His righteousness. Now, we don't do that because we're wonderful, super spiritual people. We do it because we are surrendered to Him. And it's through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that we can hold our ground in those times. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's that unchangeable perfection, His immutable nature, that each of us can then find our peace, our comfort, our strength, and our victory. My friends, trust in that with all your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the truth